Well, good morning. Thanks for the privilege of offering some thoughts and some musings. You know, it's a privilege to be able to think aloud with you through some of the questions that perplex me, and I'm grateful for that. This is Leo Tolstoy. And when people talk about lists of the world's greatest writers, almost always Leo falls on that list and very often is near the top. And I have an inkling. I know why that is. I think it's because his writings are deeply infused with the power of the gospel. In one of his short stories, he talks about a king who realizes one day that all his momentous and pivotal decisions distill down to three questions. If he could know the answer to these three questions, he would be wise and all-knowing and always make the right choices. Firstly, what is the best time to do something? Who is the person most worthy of attention? Who should you heed the most? And what is the most important thing to do? So we gather together all his wise people, all his prophets, all his diviners, and pose the questions to them. And none could provide a satisfying answer. So hearing of a wise old hermit living deep in the woods, he dressed as a peasant, and in disguise, he sets out to visit that old hermit. And he finds him spading in his garden. And he poses to the hermit his three questions. The hermit just keeps digging. No response. And seeing the old man's weariness, his agedness, his frailty, the king takes from him the spade and resumes digging. 1 hour, another hour, a third hour, each time pausing to ask his three questions. The hermit just smiles. No response. So at the end of the day, after hours of work and labor and sweat, the king is about ready to give up. And he turns to leave, dejected that his questions haven't been answered. But just then, from the bushes, staggers a man, wounded, bleeding profusely. And the king leaps to his aid. He comforts him. He bandages his wounds. He staunches his bleeding. And only then does a stranger tell him who he is. He is, in fact, the king's mortal enemy. He had been lying in ambush, waiting for the king's return when he was going to assault him, seeking revenge for an old grievance. Well, the king humbly makes peace with his former enemy. And then, turning to leave, he asks the hermit one last time those three pressing questions. And the hermit says, "Don't you see? Your questions have been answered. If you had not paused to help me with my digging, with my work, you would have been attacked. And if you had not shown compassion to that wounded stranger, you would not have had the chance to make peace with your mortal enemy. Remember then, these are Tolstoy's words, remember then, there is only one time that is important, now. It is the most important time because it is the only time when you have any power. And the most important person is the one with whom you are. For no one knows whether they will ever have dealings with anyone else. And the most important affair is to do that person good. Because for that purpose alone were we sent into this life. And that leads us directly, I think, into the topic of this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see, yesterday is dead. It's entombed in history. And tomorrow's but a dream. Its needs still unseen. There is only one time that is important. It is now. This theme appears also, I think, throughout the Gospels. When Jesus teaches us to pray, what does he say? Give us always this year. No. Give us this day, now, our daily bread. And when Jesus comes across a man with a shriveled hand on a Sabbath day, he heals him right there, right now, right then, not waiting for the Sabbath to be over, as some might have expected. And consider the Beatitudes. Yes, they are forward-looking, very much so. But blessed is what you are and who you are and what you do today. And then we come to the words read earlier. These are difficult words, aren't they? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is Wendell Berry, poet, philosopher, farmer. He says, I'm not an accredited interpreter of Scripture. I'm not a theologian or a pastor. But taking thought for the morrow is a waste of time, I believe, because all we can do to prepare rightly for tomorrow is to do the right thing today. Only the present good is good, he says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, quoting Scripture. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because if not at hand, if not here, if not right now, it is nowhere. That is to say, the good we did yesterday, the good we intend to do tomorrow, is of little consequence. What matters is this day that the Lord has made. So that's a thought I want to ponder with you this morning. The notion that maybe sometimes we're inclined to live a little bit too much in the past and too much in the future and not enough in today. Not enough in the now. In this day that the Lord has made. What do I mean, living in the past? Let me give you two examples. One way to live in the past is to lean a little too heavily, to count a little bit too much on past conversion experiences. Such turning points, such conversions, such renewals, of course, are crucial. They're pivotal, but they are not the completion. Just as a seed planted is not yet a harvest. And an opening chord is not yet a song. And an airline booking is not yet a journey. Jesus says, and Doris referred to this earlier, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not expect that your history will save you. And a second example of living in the past, this one more tragic, more sinister, I think. And that is to wallow in the guilt of yesterday's sin. It's a sad irony, I think, that in a faith founded on forgiveness, so often we are mired in memories of yesterday, constraining us from living well today. And I think if we look around us here today, if we look into our own hearts, I think we will admit that many of us today are hobbled by events long past, by a word we spoke or didn't speak, an act we committed or did not commit, by a hurt we caused, a hurt we did not heal. So let's pause for a moment and just think for ourselves. Let me ask you, do you feel remorse? Do you feel regret for things that happened in the past? If so, let me say right now, rejoice. Rejoice! Because you are free. You've been set free from that. You are free indeed. Nothing else is required of you. No incantations, no more penance, no more words, no more reconciliation. It is finished. You are free to be alive in the present, unencumbered by the past, no matter what transpired there. It is finished. Let us rejoice. You see, the past is a wise and a knowing teacher, but can be a terrible, tyrannical master. So I say to you, remember the past. Learn from it. But do not let it subdue your faithfulness today. It's a lovely old proverb. Love this proverb. It says, the best time to plant an oak tree is 100 years ago. The second best time is today. So we may regret what we did or didn't do yesterday, but there's always today. And today awaits expectantly for your response. I said there's a danger of living in the past. I think maybe there's also a danger of focusing too much on the future. Sometimes I'm tempted to think, Tomorrow I will live more faithfully. Tomorrow I will do the good I know needs to be done. Tomorrow when my debts are paid, when I'm finished school. Tomorrow when my health is better. Tomorrow when life is less hectic. Tomorrow when I'm finally off that church committee that takes so much time. Then, tomorrow we say. And before we know it, today has slipped into yesterday. And a kindness is left forever undone. And a prayer is forever left unspoken. And a wound is left unhealed. And a hungering soul is left unfed. James reminds us, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. If you know the good you ought to do, do it. Do it now. And we come back again to those vexing words of Jesus. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That sounds a little gloomy, a little dour, a little suppressive, but I don't think it is. Certainly does not need to be if we remind ourselves that trouble more or less equates to opportunity. Maybe Jesus is saying, you don't need to wait for tomorrow. Each day has opportunities enough of its own. Each moment is a moment of opportunity. Each moment, a moment of grace, a moment to celebrate. And it is the moment most crucial in all eternity. Once shuffled into the past, this moment, this hour, like all others, is amenable to forgiveness. But for now, it's all you have. It's everything you have. It's the most valuable of all. You know, sometimes, even without admitting it, subconsciously, we think of life as a spreadsheet. A long list tabulating our sins and also our virtues. And then we think that as long as the second list in the end exceeds the former, then we'll be home free. But it's not like that, is it? Seems to me we're not accountable for a lifetime. We're accountable only for this day, for this hour, for this moment. There is only one time that is important. Now, it is the only time you have any power over. Think of the thief on the cross. The end of a presumably miserable life. He manages in one inspired moment to look to Jesus and say, "Remember me." And Jesus replies, "Truly I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." So there we have a momentary inspired choice yielding an everlasting promise. A single moment well lived yielding an eternal reward. So often we think of Judgment Day as being far in the future. Maybe so. But also, maybe, each moment is a judgment moment, infused with promise, cushioned with grace. And I can think of no greater hope than to know that this very moment, gifted by the Creator, guided by the Spirit, gilded with grace, can reverberate through all eternity. And as Christians, we think a lot about eternity, and so we should. But pause for a moment and reflect. And when does your eternity begin? When does it begin? It begins right now. Right now. Today is the first day of all eternity for you. And how are you going to invest it? Will you cherish its sanctity, its beauty? Will you cherish and honor the miracle of this day? A day that will not come again, reflecting in gratitude and reverence and worship and prayerfulness. And will you color this day with kindness, with compassion, humility and gentleness and patience? And will you instill into this day a lingering, lasting peace born of Christ-like forgiveness? And when the sun sets today, will others have seen what it means to live well and faithfully this day, no matter what circumstances may have befallen you? No one is exempt. There's no excuses. Maybe you're sitting thinking, well, I'm now too old. My best days are behind me. Sorry, that won't do. Maybe you're thinking, I'm too young, I'm not ready yet, I'm not equipped, I'm not educated yet. It's not good enough. Maybe you think, I'm too impoverished, I don't have enough resources yet to do the good that I want to do. That won't do. And then the granddaddy of them all, the one I use so often to my shame. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Not good enough. There are no excuses. If you are here this morning, inhaling and exhaling, you have been granted. You have been gifted this hour. And no one else can tend to that gift, only you. It's up to you. A smile, a prayer, a hug, a hand, a word, an apple pie. If they are not offered this day by you, they will be forever ungiven. A moment forgone. A gap persisting into all eternity. So then, the most pivotal moment, the most crucial moment in all eternity has come, and it is now. Here you sit. All eternity yawns before you. This week, this day, this hour awaits your faithfulness. Remember then, there is only one time that is important. Now. It is the most important time because it is the only time when we have any power. So my prayer is that you may have faith to invest your now. May it give you a joy that lasts through all the nows to come, beyond even the bounds of time itself. Amen.